Hi, everyone, and welcome to the State of State Schools podcast. I'm your host, John Stamper, Christian author, former homeschooler, and former public school teacher. Once a week, I'll give a quick recap of the most important headlines in education and pull back the curtain on what's really happening in our kids' schools. If you're a teacher, parent, or homeschool family, this podcast is for you. Thanks for listening, and let's get started. Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 55. Everything I'm talking about in this episode comes from the week of March 4th, 2024. Here's what I'll be talking about. A homeschool mom might become North Carolina's superintendent of public instruction. A special event in one Oklahoma school had students licking peanut butter off their classmates' bare feet and armpits. Okay. A warning to parents, beware of secret school policies. And finally, teachers receive training on the dangers of whiteness. Story number one, in North Carolina, the superintendent of public instruction, a woman named Catherine Truitt, just lost a primary to a homeschool mom named Michelle Morrow. Morrow, in addition to being a homeschool mom, is a nurse and a former Christian missionary. She's also known for being critical of the radical agendas being pushed in North Carolina's public schools. So Morrow said that Truitt, the incumbent, wasn't conservative enough and made the mistake of delaying the passing of the state's parental bill of rights. Morrow also pointed out that during COVID, Truitt was the one who oversaw the implementation of radical ideologies, such as critical race theory and gender ideology, in the classrooms. Morrow said that if she's elected, she'll bring the focus back to academics and get rid of the diversity, equity, inclusion propaganda. Morrow will be the Republican nominee for North Carolina's superintendent of public instruction in this November's election. But it's important to note that the superintendent doesn't make education policy. The State Board of Education makes the policies. And most of those board members are appointed by the governor. So there's a couple takeaways from this story. First of all, the fact that this homeschool mom beat the incumbent shows that people in North Carolina are sick of their kids being indoctrinated in school. And they want to get rid of DEI, CRT, parental secrecy policies, and gender ideology. So that's a good thing. On the other hand, there's only so much that one person can do. Even if Ms. Morrow's plans are good, North Carolina's Board of Education still makes the policies. And those people are appointed by the governor. So that's out of her hands, out of her control. So this is a bigger discussion. A lot of people who recognize that public schools have become Marxist indoctrination factories, they want to change the system from the inside out. So they elect people like Michelle Morrow. But the problem is, Mrs. Morrow, if she is elected this November, will still be working in a rotten and corrupt system. Basically, she'll be walking into Babylon, if elected. Now, that's not to say she shouldn't be running for superintendent or trying to make changes. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying she shouldn't do those things. That's her business. My opinion is, if you can, anyone, if you can, get out of public education altogether. Especially if you're raising kids. Public education is not a viable option. And I say this as a former homeschooler, yes, but also as a teacher of 13 years, 11 years in the public schools, and my last year teaching was with Chicago Public Schools in 2021. But it all comes down to where God has placed you. As Christians, we want to obey God. We want to serve God. And that usually means God places us in certain cities, in certain towns, or in certain jobs. So if, for example, God is calling you to be in the public education system, then by all means, go do that, and God bless you in doing that. But if you're a parent or a teacher and you're on the fence about public schools, or you're just not sure if public education is a good option or not, well, my suggestion is first, pray about it, seek God. But if you feel led, consider homeschooling. Consider homeschooling your children with a solid Bible-based curriculum, like Masterbooks, for example. I'm involved with Masterbooks. I sell courses through Masterbooks. I know Masterbooks, and you know I can vouch for them. And if you're a teacher, consider applying to a Christian school. My point is, there are alternatives to public education or government education. and we need to keep developing those alternatives. Story number two, if you've listened to this podcast at all, or you've read my book, you know that I often remind parents or warn parents and teachers to pay special attention to quote-unquote special weeks or special programs in school. These are the things that students get really excited about because it's a break from math or literature, for example. Well, this story is about one of those quote-unquote special events. If you're on social media at all, you may have seen a video circulating of high school students in Oklahoma licking peanut butter off their classmates' bare feet and armpits. Why would anyone be doing this in a public school during the school day? Well, it was part of a school fundraiser or a quote-unquote special event. Now, this video I'm talking about is from 2015, I believe, but it turns out the school has been holding such events for years. It's a great example of what I mean when I say, watch out for special events or special programs taking place in school. Now, other parts of this fundraiser included students chugging barbecue sauce, eating weird foods, and having dancing competitions. Now, to be fair, these students signed up for these activities. Teachers and staff, I don't believe, were involved. So, okay, fine. The school did a Fear Factor style fundraiser. Nobody was forced to do anything. It was all voluntary. But the point is, where are the academics? Where are the academics? Why have public schools become giant Nickelodeon, Fear Factor, TikTok fun zones in America? It's a joke. Our education report card has been declining for decades. It's no secret. But still, this is what our tax dollars are supporting. And look, I'm not against fun. Not that I consider licking peanut butter off of feet and armpits fun. But there's a time and a place. We simply don't take education seriously in this country. The majority don't anyway. You know, why couldn't the fundraiser be about reading the most books, writing the best book report, solving a mathematical equation, volunteering, or doing some sort of productive community service? Why does it have to be about something disgusting? Well, because we don't value those things. That wouldn't get clicks on social media. You know what does get clicks on social media? Licking feet. That gets clicks. So while this story was just gross, it's ridiculous, other special events that take place during the school day, they promote even more destructive things like gender ideology, critical race theory, and Marxist communist ideals. So my point, again, is parents, teachers, pay attention to the special weeks, special speakers, and special events at your school. Story number three, Rochester Public Schools in Minnesota had a secret school policy created by the superintendent supporting, quote, transgender and gender expansive students, end quote. The school superintendent wrote this secret policy, did not make it public, and then defended this action by saying, oh, it was only temporary. It was only temporary until the board could create a permanent policy. So we can keep secrets, apparently, until we get found out. Then we just say, oh, it was temporary. And just to be sure, these policies say they, quote, support trans students and gender expansive students. But what does, quote unquote, support mean? Well, supporting trans students, it doesn't mean giving them a chair, a desk, a book, or a pencil at school. That's not the support they're talking about. In this policy, support means that if a child says they're transgender, boom, the school reinforces or supports that delusion, reinforces or supports the lie, and they call it support. That's what support means to most public schools. So they'll call you a transphobe if you oppose this. And then they'll say, oh, what, you don't believe in education? You don't think kids deserve support? They say that either intentionally or out of ignorance to reinforce gender ideology, which is radical. It's destructive. So here's what this superintendent's policy stated. And pay attention to the buzzwords and the subtlety of the language. It says, quote, to ensure the safety and well-being of the student, district employees shall not disclose a student's gender identity, their sex assigned at birth, their transgender identity, shall not disclose that unless such disclosure has been authorized by the student and or the parents. So you can't talk about it unless the student tells you you can talk about it. So at best, this policy, at best, through this policy, school staff can tell the parents if their child says they're trans, but they're not required to tell the parents. They can, but they're not required. That's the best case scenario with this policy. Now, at worst, this policy lets students make the call to keep their parents in the dark and to lie to their parents altogether. This is what I call undermining the family, undermining parents. I call it child abuse. This is the result of Marxism. It's a hallmark of Marxism. Marxist dictators throughout history have done it, and our government education system has adopted similar practices. But again, notice the first line of the policy, quote, to ensure the safety and well-being of the student. So they frame it as being all about safety, apparently. And if you say, quote unquote, safety, then it really doesn't matter what you say next. You can get away with anything, as long as it's for the safety and well-being of the student. So the policy went on to say that, quote, a student has the right to request that they be referred to by a name and pronoun that corresponds to the student's gender identity, not their biological sex, but their gender identity, by all school staff and fellow students, end quote. So not only can a child's confusion and identity crisis be kept from their parents, but the teachers and classmates at school are all forced to play along and play make-believe and to lie to students who are going through this mental health crisis. It's reinforcing a serious, serious problem. And not only that, but the policy allowed students to use bathrooms and locker rooms based on their gender identity and not their biological sex. So, for example, an 18-year-old boy, an adult male, legally, could go into the girls' locker room and shower with the 14-year-old freshman girls. This is our reality now. It's sick. So again, this was a secret policy written by the superintendent. Now, how would any parent have known about this? It wasn't published on the school's website. It wasn't made public. Well, there was no way that parents could find out about it. That's the point. This story only came out because one person caught wind of it and reported it to the group Parents Defending Education. And to top it all off, if any teacher in the entire school district maybe felt uneasy about it, or maybe their faith or their personal convictions kept them from adopting this policy, they could be fired. The policy says, quote, district employees who refuse to abide by these guidelines may be subject to disciplinary actions up to and including termination, end quote. So this is Nebuchadnezzar saying, bow to my golden idol or I'll throw you in the fiery furnace. That's it. It's no different. So the point is, parents, you not only have to be aware of school policies, but now you have to be aware of secret school policies. So how can you learn about this stuff? Well, you can try to meet with these people, set up appointments, or go to the school board meetings. Ask if there are policies, secret or not secret, based on gender identity. Or better yet, submit your own public records request and do the digging yourself. Story number four, Milton Public Schools in Massachusetts gave its staff lessons, handouts, and slides on white supremacy. These teaching materials came from the school's Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging Department. That's new. That's the first time I've ever seen belonging in there. We've all heard of DEI, but this is Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging. So now everyone belongs. You have to support this because it's about belonging. We all belong. This is how they use language to manipulate. So these training materials were sent to staff through email and listed all kinds of characteristics associated with quote-unquote white supremacy culture. And according to this training, white supremacy culture includes things like objectivity, having a sense of urgency, individualism, and valuing the written word. Things like the Bible, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, laws. Again, according to this school's training, all these things are part of white supremacy thinking, and they're damaging. So just using simple logic here, Here's what we can gather from this public school DEI belonging department. Okay? First of all, objectivity is white supremacy, and it's dangerous. You know, objective, subjective, objectivity is white supremacy. So black or brown students must not think objectively, because that's a terrible trait, according to this school's DEI department. Next, a sense of urgency. That's a white supremacy thing. It's racist. No black or brown students should ever have a sense of urgency to do anything. Even if you're a doctor or an EMT responding to a medical emergency, you can't have a sense of urgency, because that's a white supremacy thing, according to this school. Next, loving the written word, such as the Bible or the Constitution. That's white supremacy. So this means that books don't really matter. Instead, just look at social media. Don't take time to learn about history. Just listen to your public school teachers. They'll be your guides. And finally, being an individual is white supremacy. Only white racists want to be individuals. Instead, students should want to be part of the collective, part of a socialist or communist society. So again, these aren't my opinions. This was in the teacher materials at this public school in Massachusetts. Read it for yourself. It's insane. And this wasn't 2, 3, 5, 10 years ago. This happened this school year, 3 months ago. This is a perfect example of the problem of DEI. DEI claims to be fighting racism, but DEI policies, in case you haven't noticed, are extremely racist, extremely biased, and extremely prejudiced. So if your school has DEI anywhere in its policies, whether public, private, or even a Christian school, if your school pushes DEI, get out of there ASAP. So if you have school-age children, how can you know if your school has DEI policies? Well, first of all, most schools post their policies online, so start there. Second, meet with administrators and ask specific questions, because like in the previous story, there can be secret policies too. And finally, in this story, this training took place through email. It was only discovered because of a public records request, which is an amazing tool, public records requests. But you might also ask, what's the problem with keeping things from parents? What's the problem with supporting and affirming transgender students? Well, God designed the family structure. It goes God, parents, children. That's it. That's the model. So any school policy that contradicts that model or denies that model is wrong. Plus, Jesus said, if anyone causes a little child to stumble, like, say, heaping transgender confusion on them, it'd be better if a millstone were hung around their neck and they were cast into the sea. So that's why so many people, like me, are so opposed to any policy that harms children or comes between parents and their children. That's all I have for you this week. Take care, everybody.